Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I think I'm going to start out talking this evening about reincarnation and the human spirit. At 21 days, the spirit form enters into the body of the fetus. And it enters into an area in our middle brain called the superior colliculus. It's the superior colliculus that controls sight. The spirit form sends energy throughout the body in the lattice structure. And it causes the heart to beat. And it brings in with it something called the consciousness block. And in the consciousness block is the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, the unconscious mind. And within the subconscious are the memories of the predecessor personalities. But the conscious mind has to grow up again. Even though the spirit form, in terms of its evolution, is at the point of the last lifetime. So as the child grows up again, it'll get inspirations from its predecessor personalities, and it will get these signals from the universal storage banks. Now, there are storage banks in the universe and the planet, not the planet itself, but in this band of energy around the planet. And these spiker banks, or storage banks, contain records, not physical records like we see books have our physical records in a library, but an immaterial record, an energetic record that contains information. And the creation, the universal consciousness, is sending out this information. So, as you're growing, and we all should be growing at any time in our life, one of the creational natural laws is the law of striving. So no matter what your age is, you should continue to strive to learn more. And that's a law. And if you decrease your striving, it tends to increase the suffering in your life. So stay focused on striving to continue down the path of evolution. The purpose of our lives is to gather wisdom. Wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And we produce the energy associated with wisdom. We help the whole creation, the whole universal consciousness, to evolve. And remember what Semyase told Billy. Love and wisdom go together. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So love is not the kind of love that we're talking about. It's not the kind of romantic love. But it's an effective love that is very stable. And true love, effective love, is consistent. And it's based on observation and the ability of understanding that we are connected to all things. Love is the highest principle in creation, and everything follows that principle in absolute logic. There is an absolute logic associated with love, and that's the logic of survival. And one of the reasons that every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love is because this is part of the way of nature. You see that we are commanded not just to live and let live, but to live and help live. And that's a part of your striving as well, is to help the people around you and to help all living creatures, plants and animals that are around you in their striving. You see, the earth and life is a part of an indissoluble web of life. And I always think of the weaving, because all life is interrelated and all life influences each other. So do not ever underestimate the incredible power of your thinking, because your harmonious thoughts go out into the universe for some great distance until they finally start to come back. And they attract other healthy, harmonious thoughts with them. So your neutral, positive, healthy thoughts are strengthened, and they will always remain neutral, positive, healthy thoughts when they come back to you. And you must think in terms of absolute logic. Do never be wishy-washy, because the laws of nature are absolute. And you should think in absolutely certain terms that you are the master of your own life, that your good thoughts will lead to good feelings lead to good habits, and good habits create good circumstances in your life. So you are the master of your own destiny. You are not the victim of circumstances. If you're having bad circumstances, it often comes about because of problem-causing thoughts. Problem-causing thoughts also have evaluations and feelings which arise from them, which are unconsciously tended and nurtured. So you can nurture these problem-causing thoughts, and we do, and I know I do at times. And this whole thing operates automatically, and it can throw your psyche into a turmoil. It is the automatic thoughts which are the crucial point, because it is through them that the feelings are disturbed, and therefore also the psyche. So check when your feelings are getting disturbed, because these disturbing feelings are a sign that you have entered into a kind of thinking that is not good for the psyche. Each time these repeated thoughts move through the mind, they generate more disturbing feelings. So we have to break this pattern of uncontrolled automatic thoughts. And this can be done through meditation, focusing on something else, listening to music, going into nature. It can also be done by using the neutral, positive, wishful dream. So start to visualize whatever wishful dream is a positive thing to you, a sunny day, a warm day, a blue sky, a yellow sun, your favorite people with you, you're out in nature, your cats are there playing, your dogs are playing, your children are playing. Think of something that will put you in a happy, neutral, positive state of mind. So start to capture those moments in your life when you have experienced those excellent and warm feelings. And shoot, you can even have those while you're working. And when you recognize the harmonious nature of your thoughts and the neutral, positive feelings that you start to have, then you can tend those things so that the next time your thinking goes a little bit astray, you can recall those activities. And the neutral positive thoughts, the wishful dreams, should always be in the present tense. And everything that you think and say to yourself should be in the present tense, and there should be absolutely no wishy-washiness. There's no uncertainty, because the subconscious mind will take that uncertainty and turn it into a negative. So your conscious mind must be neutral, positive, all the way. And that's how you take control of your thinking. And when you take control of your thinking, it's natural that you will also eventually take control of your life. I'm going to read a little bit from an interview that Billy did. I think this was in the year 2000. It's absolutely stunning. And hopefully I'll try to find the URL for you so you can read this and print this out on your own. This is a question that Billy got. Why are the Pleiaren interested in the destiny of Earth? So if you're new to the show, and just in case somebody listens to the archive and they have no idea what we're talking about here, let me recap a few things quickly. Billy Meyer is a man, he's about 78 years old. He lives in Switzerland in a beautiful tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti. He has had contact with extraterrestrial human beings since about 1945. These contacts occurred when he was a boy in Bulak, Switzerland. The first man he had contact with was named Svath. Svath was a Pleiaren man. The Pleiaren, they live some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. And these extraterrestrials have been known on Earth as the Pleiadians incorrectly and erroneously for many years. In 1995, they revealed their true identity as the Pleiaren, and they left the Earth. Before that, there were some 2,800 extraterrestrials on the Earth in bases in Switzerland, North America, Asia. They left in 1995. They wouldn't tell us why. These people, these extraterrestrial humans, were from the Pleiaren system, from Lyra Vega, and from nearby star systems. The Pleiaren are interested in the destiny of Earth because they feel responsible for the past misdeeds and irrational teachings and irrational religions, misguidance, and other badness which their Lyrian and Vegan ancestors presented and inflicted to the earthborn inhabitants in the early days of the development of the human being on the earth. You know, in the Omphalan Maradu, in the OM, the book The OM, Billy says, he writes, "The gods of the earth were human, and they came from the depths of space, and they created religions and they demanded worship." Let me continue. Already in those early days, the human beings of Earth joyfully accepted the irrational teachings of the extraterrestrials, perfected them licentiously and self-willingly in their absolute own responsibility up to the point of Asartung, as this Asartung is in the danger to grow out of control in all kinds of fields. And that German term, and I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, Asartung, means to get very badly out of control of the good nature. There is a good nature to humans. Let me, if I can find it quickly, in the book The Psyche, I stumbled across this a little while ago. I really do like this book. It's incredibly technical in some ways. So, when we talk about the psyche, we talk about the material conscious-based part of the human being. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. And the psyche can become neutral, but mostly it can also become positive or negative. And that means when you're too far positive or too far negative, you're what's called asartang. Let me read it here. To be positively or negatively unequalized means for the psyche to be asgartit or asartang, depending on using the noun or the verb, in one or another form. While neutral positively equalized means that an equalizedness exists in the psyche, consisting of equal values of negative and positive, through which no asartang towards the negative or the positive steps forth, but simply an equality, and with that an equalized harmony. Remember, Meyer material always talks about being neutral positive in your thoughts and never slipping into the negative, and don't slip too far into the positive, because it's like being drunk, you'll have a hangover. Therefore, the blame cannot be pushed solely onto the extraterrestrials, but must mostly and explicitly be searched for in the complete willingness of the human beings of Earth, because they invented and overfulfilled the measure of all terrible things, whereas the extraterrestrials only brought the bad things of the delusional leading. Nonetheless, the player and feel responsible for the wrongdoing of their very early ancestors, as well as the incurring as a Sartungan of the human being of Earth, who has opened the floodgates to all this insanity through his or her conscienceless willingness and imperiousness, until now has been wallowing in terrestrial delightfulness and pleasures ever since. So, we were influenced in our ancient past by extraterrestrials, and our mythologies are full of gods who influenced the Earth people, and we ate it up. And so we're also very guilty. I don't know if guilty is the right word, but okay. Next question to Billy. You had your first contact with extraterrestrials at the age of 5. Afterwards, you had been living for a long time in India, as well as other places. Apparently, you had been prepared for your task. Why were you chosen for it? This is a very interesting story. Billy's spirit form, these extraterrestrials refer to as Nokodamian or Nokodamjan. It's 9.6 billion years old. That's a number that's really hard for us to imagine. Look at it this way. The Earth is 5 billion years old. His spirit form was around long before the Earth became a solid planet. It has been reincarnating on the Earth at least for the past 10,000 years. I think longer on the Earth even. But it also reincarnated in Lyra Vega, in another part of our galaxy. But it also reincarnated in another galaxy. So this ancient spirit form has had so many millions of reincarnations, more than we can wrap our minds around. So it has accumulated through all of these lifetimes this incredible wisdom. Now, as you study reincarnation more and more, you will not associate a spirit form, a Geist form, so much with its current incarnations. You'll see them as two separate things. And so by saying this, I'm not necessarily reaping or laying on a whole bunch of praise to Billy, because Billy is just one material manifestation of this very ancient spirit form. Let me continue here. In 1942, Billy's speaking here, my first contacts with extraterrestrials began at the age of 5 with Sphath, the grandfather of Semyase, the Plarian female. Initially, I learned a lot through him and with him regarding the spiritual teaching and existence and the function of the creational laws and recommendations, as well as the use of spirit telepathy. Billy was taught at a very young age to pull information down from the storage banks, and I know that later in life he got information from the highest spiritual, from the spiritual realm, from this level called Erhat Athrasata. So let me continue. So in the sequel, the communication between Sphath and myself became possible in this way. As of 1944, during many stays in his beamship, and I always had a question about this, about the early contacts. I didn't know how many physical contacts Billy had with Sphath. But here it says, as of 1944, during my many stays in his beamship, so evidently Billy was up in the beamship many times, Sphath explained to me many things and informed me about important data concerning many knowledge fields, spiritual science, history, creational teaching, and evolution teaching, occurrences and facts, etc., which I had to learn and store in my memory, and indeed mostly through electronically induced deep hypnosis. When Billy went on the ship with Sphath, one of the things Sphath did was put a device on Billy's head which unlocked the wisdom of his predecessor personalities. And he was flooded with images. He could see into the future. He knew things. It was a very amazing thing. This device had wires on it. It was put on his head. And it caused an electronically induced deep hypnosis. He explained to me at a later date that due to our mutual efforts, my understanding had grown to that of a 35-year-old person, even though in reality I was only 7 years old, and that this knowledge would still increase manifold in the coming years. So it must have had kind of a residual effect, which kept affecting him as he grew older. I was told that I would have, amongst all human beings, the highest degree of, she explained to me and informed me the important data in the knowledge field of science. He explained to me later, due to our mutual efforts, my understanding had grown to that of a 35-year-old person, even though I was 7 years old. The highest degree of knowledge concerning the creational, natural, spiritual connection. So one of the things Billy would get is this incredible knowledge for the creational, natural laws, the spiritual connections. And that doesn't mean that he understood the material, intellectual knowledge that we talk about today so much. Not book and school knowledge, and not pattern knowledge. But it refers to a knowledge relating to the spiritual teachings and the spiritual science, the existence of the creation, and the existence and effect of creational energies, the creational teaching and teaching of the origin, up to the evolution teaching, and the all-great timely absolutum teaching. In later years, I was deliberately taught and prepared for my task, namely the fulfillment of the mission and the contacts with the Plarian in many-sided kind and wise and in many different countries of Earth and in all kinds of knowledge fields of spiritual and physical nature through different persons of terrestrial and extraterrestrial origin. So when Billy went into the ship with Sphath, he was put on some device that put him in a deep state of electronically induced hypnosis. And through that, he was able to unlock all the wisdom of his predecessor personalities. And Sloth also taught Billy about his previous lives on the Earth, and that he had been Enoch, the people that we today call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And Billy taught in these other lifetimes, I should say the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer taught in these other lifetimes about the universal consciousness, which is neither good nor evil. It's a neutral, positive, equalized, balanced being. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Creation radiates love. The infinite love of creation connects all life, because in all life that love lies hidden. And when Billy was a very young boy in Switzerland, he would look up at the sky in the evening and he would start to get these impulses from the storage banks. And then he would start to see that there was a visible light of all these stars, but that there was an invisible light he called the love of creation. And at a very young age, he knew his whole life existed because of the love of creation. Let's continue on with Billy's discussion here. Thus, the necessary requirements and capabilities for a sensible cooperation between me and the extraterrestrials were created and renewed in accordance with previous lives, as this had been handled for the mission since time immemorial. Further, the Pleiaren are only able to maintain personal, i.e. physical contact, with those human beings of Earth who have worked their way up to such a high consciousness-based level of knowledge as it is necessary for a physical and telepathic contact with the developed Pleiaren. So Billy goes on to say that he's the only human being on Earth who is able to maintain physical and telepathic contact with the Pleiaren and other life forms of that high evolutionary level. No other human being of Earth besides me is able and capable of doing so. Not even those whose spirit forms originally did not come from the Earth. Remember, I believe there are 219.8, maybe that's the number, 219.8 million spirit forms on the Earth who are between 8 and 12 million years old. They came here from other worlds when they were in earlier physical lifetimes. They died on the Earth for various reasons, entered into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. The typical human spirit on the Earth is more like 4 to 5 million years old. There's a difference there, a fairly big difference there. Now, on the other hand, take Billy's spirit form, which is about 9.6 billion years old. The Pleiaren, who are in the fifth stage of evolution, are probably getting close to 40 million years old. We reincarnate for about 42 million years, and I think it can be between 40 to 60. About 40, according to this book, The Psyche, I'd have to look it up again, 42 million years into a physical body. And that's the fifth stage of evolution. That's the level of the Ishwish, the King of Wisdom, the level that many of the Pleiaren are at. And they're just at the stage where they start to no longer need a physical body, where they become half material, half spiritual in terms of their bodies. That's the next evolutionary level for them. We here on the Earth are mostly in stage two, rational life. So our thought forms are very unstable compared to the Pleiaren. They're not harmonious. as compared to the Pleiaron. So, and they pick up on all of our thought forms, all of the irregularity and the lack of harmony, and it's very damaging and unpleasant to them. They lose control of themselves. They have to wear a kind of technology to screen out our thoughts. And even then, they can only be in our presence for, say, 30 minutes or something like that. They have to be, I think it's 90 yards away from us if they don't have their screening technology to be separated from our thoughts. So they can't really, in any practical terms, have contact with the Earth peoples at their current level of evolution. They have not had war for 50,000 years. If you can imagine how far your society could get with no war for 50,000 years. We can't even not have war for 5 years, more or less 50,000. Okay, I'll continue here. This is the reason why the Pleiaron began to contact me early in my childhood, to prepare me and make me capable for my forthcoming contacts with them, because my spirit form had already been voluntarily active in human bodies as a teacher, a proclaimer, a prophet for millions of years in the Lyra Vega systems and on Earth. And since primeval times, my spirit form has returned to the material sphere from a highly spiritual level, Erhad Athrasada. So Billy, in former lifetimes, probably billions of years ago, had already evolved past the need for a physical body into he was in a pure spiritual level and then came back to the material realm. He said he returned to the material sphere from a highly spiritual level, Erhad Athrasada, and carried out prophetic functions already on Lazon and other planets of the Lyra and Vega systems, in which case my spirit form, under the former name Nokodamjon, already then committed itself to fulfill a necessary prophetical mission and function. The commitment, which includes as mission the tuition of the human life form and the truthful bringing of the creation teaching, the creational laws and recommendations, and the spirit teaching, etc., first extended on the human beings of Lyra and Vega, the Lyra and Vega systems, and later also on the human beings of the planet of Earth, and therefore also on those many million successor personalities with extraterrestrial spirit forms. Of those extraterrestrial immigrants who came willingly or unwillingly to Earth from the Lyra Vega systems and from the destroyed planet Melona in the Sol system. In ancient times on the Earth, there were three planets in our solar system that supported life: the Earth, Mars, and the planet Melona. Planet Melona was a little farther out in its orbit than Mars, I believe. The people who lived on Melona, they directed an ocean into a very, very large volcano, which started a chain reaction, which literally blew their planet to pieces. These people on Melona were part of what was called the genetically manipulated people. And we on the Earth are also considered that group as well. Because these groups originally originated in the Sirius system. And again, the Sirius system, not in the Sirius system we see with our eyes, but in one that exists in a slightly out of phase with us, in a different dimension, in a different time frame. And there were people that originated from Lyra Vega millions, many millions of years ago that went to the Sirius system, and they were genetic engineers, and they engineered out of themselves the fighting spirit because they had a history of too much warlike. The Lyrians would war among themselves and destroy themselves and send themselves back to the Stone Age. And then they would have to, for millions of years, rebuild their civilizations. So one group left Lyra Vega, and they went to the Cirrus system, and they decided, well, we're just going to engineer out this warlike spirit that we have through genetic engineering, and we'll be able to live in peace. And that kind of worked pretty good, except when they ran into extraterrestrial groups that weren't so benevolent. And they had lost their fighting spirit, and they literally couldn't defend themselves. So they had to create a second race of people that they gave shorter lifespans and heightened aggression. And those people were designed to do their fighting for them. These people eventually became a problem for the people in the Cirrus system, because they were, these genetically manipulated people were so warlike. So the people from the Cirrus system, which in the Maya writings are sometimes called the creator overlords, decided they were going to have to kill this other race off completely. They were just too dangerous. Well, there were other groups in the Cirrus system that thought that was immoral to kill these people off. So they escaped with a group of these people, and they eventually found our solar system. In ancient times, they settled on the planet Mars and this other planet, Melona. And, you know, all three of these planets had ecosystems and water and atmosphere and a place where humans and animals and plants could thrive. Well, the warlike nature of the people from Melona got completely out of hand, and they destroyed their own planet in the explosion. And the people from Mars suffered from that explosion and pushed Mars out of its normal orbit, created our asteroid belt, and eventually Mars kind of died off over time. And so now today, the people here on Earth are the only people that really have life. You know, our solar system does not support life any longer. And it's a real shame. At one time, there were actually artifacts from these previous civilizations still left on Mars. And that's why in the 1970s, those photographs were taken of the face in the Cydonia region and the D&M pyramid. There were, back in the 70s, physical artifacts on Mars. That group from the Cirrus system came to our solar system and actually destroyed all of those artifacts, because there was a group of extraterrestrials on Mars hiding out there that sometimes we call the Men in Black. And also, there was another group that has given us problems for many, many years. They're no longer here, called the Giza Intelligences. And as I've told the story many, many times before, that the Giza Intelligences existed after the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, started about 11,000 years ago or so. They came back from the Beta Centauri regions and other star systems, and they set up a tyranny on the Earth that lasted for many thousands of years, and they influenced Hitler and the Thule Society, particularly through this man, Hermann Steinschneider, who really threw Hitler off the wrong path. And so our psyche, as it says here in the Meyer teachings, our whole religions have been very much disturbed by these extraterrestrials. So the people of the Pleiaren are trying to, in a sense, make amends for these damages that were created in the past. Let me continue here. This commitment, which includes a mission, as a mission, the tuition of the human life form, and the truth bringing of the creation teaching, the creational laws and recommendations, and the spirit teaching, etc., first extended on the human beings of Lyra Vega and later on the beings on the planet Earth, and therefore also on the many million successor personalities, etc. Of these extraterrestrial immigrants who came willingly or unwillingly to Earth, see, some of these people with the genetic manipulations, they were forced to leave the Sirius system because they would have been killed anyway. And it talks about the destroyed planet Melonia. Fourth question Billy has here. What do you think of the legend that 3 million years ago, 144,000 Plearian souls incarnated on the Earth to further the development on this planet? Answer. This legend has no truth in it whatsoever. The first extraterrestrials who came to the Earth were not Plearian, but human beings from worlds which exist in another dimension, in the area of the Lyra and Vega systems. The first Lyrians, together with the Vegans, came to Earth for the first time 22 million years ago. Their stay here was very brief, and they took off to other star forms and planets, and their further history remains mostly in the dark, although shock troops came to visit Earth every now and then. Approximately 389,000 years ago, several million Lyrians and Vegans again took off from their home worlds and got into the space-time configuration of our dimension and came to Earth, where they mixed with the earthly human life forms, created descendants in a normal kind and wise, as well as through genetic manipulations by genetic engineers. Through the normal procreation, the Lyrian earthly mixed descendants came into being, meaning sex, of course. Whereas the genetic manipulation human animals and animal humans, as well as giants. Okay, the Lyrians crossed the genes of human beings and animals here on the Earth. They did what's called sometimes gene sodomy. And they also created animal humans when they were here on the Earth. One of these genetic manipulations, we today have named the Seraphs, the Seraphim in the Bible, the six-winged angels. Not actually what you would think they are. They're actual kind of a genetic manipulation, an animal-human hybrid that was formed. So today, these are, in our minds, these holy things. Our religions have created these things as holy things. But these were some weird science kind of, you know, genetic manipulations. Well, in addition to the Seraphim, there were giants and titans and all sorts of other creatures created. Over the hundreds and thousands of years, these creatures were displaced again or died out because they were not procreative or because the conditions of the life were deadly for them. These many millions of Lyrian and Vegans who left their home worlds were headed by 144,207 leader personalities and subleaders, who ruled over their followers in a rather hierarchic form. And this might, they also transferred onto the human beings of Earth, with whom they had come together to create descendants of various kinds. So these Lyrians and Vegans, they had sex with Earth peoples, and then they had offspring. Natural offspring. In addition to that, they did genetic engineering and they created animal-human hybrids, human-animal hybrids. And some of these genetic experiments created these colossal giants. And I think it's Contact Report 70 talks about these beings being 39 feet tall. These 144,207 leader and subleader personalities were actually ringleaders who were then decisively responsible that lots of misdeeds, irrational teachings, and irrational religions would come and take root on the earth and amongst human beings. You know, some of the biggest misconceptions that we have today are the whole idea of angels and demons. There really is no such thing whatsoever. What we had here on the earth are the primitive earth people trying to wrap their minds around what was going on around them. And they created words to try to understand and to identify all of this weirdness, because they were seeing high technology. They had no idea what that was. They were seeing genetic manipulation. They had no idea what that was. They were seeing people who, in their material consciousness, could do things that they didn't even think were vaguely possible, like telekinesis, moving things with their minds, and telepathy, you know, talking to people without talking with your mouth. And I think some of them could actually do teleportation. They could change the location of their physical body. So they were seeing things that their minds were blown. So you can imagine how this all got integrated into our ideas, our concepts, our memory, our genetic memory, into our folklore, into our religions. And that's why we're so confused. We don't understand these things. And that's why the creational natural laws and this spiritual teaching can clear up some of the mess. Let's continue. But the leaders not only brought terrible and erroneous things and misdeeds to earth against their better knowledge, but also many good things. Of the handicraft, the philosophy, and the thinking, the medicine, and the technology, many other things. Therefore, these 144,207 spirit forms of these ancient Lyrian and Vegans were not reincarnated on Earth from another planet in order to further development of this planet. And they were also not Plyarm, but simply Lyrians and Vegans. It was much later that the descendants of the Splinter space traveling groups of Lyra and Vega called themselves the Plyaren. I think it was about 230,000 years ago that an Ishwish, a king of wisdom named Asael, fled the Lyra Vega system and brought with him like 70,000 people, and they settled in the Plyaren system. And that was the beginning of the Plyarens. These splinter groups stayed away from Earth, while the other travelers from Lyra and Vega settled on Earth after suitable habit worlds had been discovered and colonized in the area of the Plyaren. These other worlds, however, just like the Lyra and Vegan planets, are located outside of our space-time configuration. So they, therefore, are in another dimension, a mere fraction of a second off our space-time configuration. On the Pleiades star cluster, in our present time and space, there exists no life whatsoever, because the Pleiades are still very early, are in a very early stage of their development. Of course, the immigrated Lyrians and Vegans, as well as the 144,207 leader personalities, remained on Earth. Consequently, they died over the course of time on Earth. So these 144,207 leader personalities, they stayed on Earth. They died, and they are now in the reincarnational patterns of Earth. You may have talked to one at one point. Consequently, they died over the course of time on earth in order to incarnate again and again over all the time since then into the human bodies on earth. However, without any memory of their former lives, as this is given for all human lives through creational laws and recommendations, so that there will be no chaos and confusion in the human thinking and feeling. Nonetheless, all these fallible ones who had come to the earth were unified by an Ishwish and were taught all the necessary creational laws and recommendations, as well as their guidelines, etc., through which the fallible ones, in particular, the 144,207 ringleaders, agreed to make good again in later incarnations for the damages that they wrought. At the same time, they created a codex for themselves and for all their followers, although or through which they should suffer from severest measures if they break from their oath of compensation and the their resulting mission. The codex has been created for all the future times until the day the compensation will be completed. Okay, and then it says in parenthesis here, in the meantime, the codex has been fulfilled and is therefore out of function. And that remark was made in 1998, so I guess the codex has been fulfilled. Anyway, that's quite a fascinating bit of information. And it's not, I mean, I haven't even read it all. It continues and continues here. It's a great interview that Billy did indeed. The Meyer information, it's really without parallel, without equal. There's really nothing that's even vaguely close to it. Billy has written, they say, 40 books, over 600 contact notes. His writings, they answer all the big questions in life. Who are we? As I've just been reading about, who are we? Where do we come from? What's the purpose of our life? What are the other civilizations in our galaxy like? What are the evolutionary steps we go through? These are all the questions that are answered by this man who's 78 years old with about a fifth grade education. Edward Albert Meyer is a very, very interesting individual. His spirit form is very ancient. As we read about earlier, it's known as Nokodamian. It has incarnated on the earth as Enoch, who in the Meyer material they refer to as Henoch. And there were a series of prophecies which Henoch created for our time. And they're talked about in Contact 215. And the one, the extraterrestrial that speaks to Billy in this contact is a man named Quetzal. And Quetzal has some very specific prophecies about the United States. These are the same prophecies that were made in the ancient past, thousands of years ago, by Henoch, one of the material incarnations of the spirit form, the same spirit form that resides in Edward Albert Meyer. I'd like to think that these prophecies are not going to come true, because I think it's possible that we've made or starting to make enough spiritual progress that these things are not going to happen. One of the things they talk about is the potential for two civil wars in the United States, and that we will break up into five different groups or five different areas. I hope you've been paying a little attention to the presidential race. It's very interesting because we finally have a candidate who doesn't owe any of the big corporations any money. So he can speak his mind. He has enough money to support his own campaign. So he's telling the truth. He's not being politically correct. He's breaking through. It's hard to even describe what we've been under. The Meyer material calls this the third millennium. And it says that in the third millennium, our leaders will become megalomaniacal. They will take away our rights of self-determination. And the people will become indolent, obtuse, indifferent, dumbed down, slow to understand, insensitive. We are mesmerized by our electronic media. We are mesmerized by our cell phones, by our YouTube videos. Fight against these. This electronic media is very, very dangerous. I'm addicted to it. It's always a struggle. What it's doing is taking away your focus. Force yourself, if you have to, get away from the electronic media. Print out the Meyer information. Read it. Learn to control your thoughts. You will be the master of your own destiny. Your good thoughts will lead to good feelings, which will lead to good habits, which will lead to good circumstances in your life. Our thoughts are such a monstrous power that if they're neutral positive, they will continue to bring in everything that you desire for your life. But it requires that you stay in the neutral positive balance, to have harmony in your thoughts, to nurture those harmonious thoughts. Take control of your life. Empower yourself. You have the ability to do this. You can control your own life. You can master your own destiny. You are mastering your own destiny. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show this evening. It's my pleasure and honor to be able to give this information to you. Stay focused during the week and keep studying. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a good evening. Good night.